It's Thursday, March the 3rd, and you're tuned in to the TNAB podcast. I'm Vince.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. It is the third month of the year. I cannot believe we're already here. March is here.
I think we're still in opposite time patterns, where I'm like, damn, it's only March?
What are you hoping for?
Nothing. Time has been slow.
It's so weird, because I thought you would like that.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. It's only March.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, man, time is moving. Like, the weeks are just flying by over here.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on. First up, a couple things for this show. If you hear a slight audio crackle, like, it's super minuscule, but if it's there, I couldn't figure it out.
So yeah, Vince was troubleshooting before the show, and...
It's something I'll have to look into later, but I mean, I just got to get the show on the road. So we're going to live with it. I don't think it should be too much of an issue, but if it's there, please let us know if it was unbearable. Anyways, there was something I wanted to talk about, but it's completely lost my train of thought because I had an opening segment today.
Oh, really?
I did.
Interesting.
But I lost it as I was doing the audio.
Wasn't any sort of email?
No, it had nothing to do with anything, actually.
I have
no clue. I have no clue what the hell I was going to talk about. So that's where I'm at.
Vince, you want to talk about Alzheimer's?
I think I'm getting there. I am getting there. I think I'm at that age. Yeah, sure. Why not?
You should be kicking in soon.
Yeah, right. Once you cross 30, yeah.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. I guess it's just, you know, what's new, Anthony?
What's new in the realm?
Yeah.
Of news?
No, of you.
Of me? Bro, job hunting sucks.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah?
I can't. I've been keeping a Google Drive, like a Google Sheet, right? You know, everyone's favorite Excel knockoff. And of jobs I applied to since the beginning of the year. Because I want to keep track of where I'm going, like what gives me more success. Who contacts me back, what kind of companies do what,
yep,
and stuff like that. I'm almost at 100 job applications.
It's pretty good.
And I've gotten one interview.
Nice. That's good.
That's terrible.
It's a 1% hit rate. Yes. You know, it's better than catching a shiny Pokemon.
I guess. You got to keep it in perspective, I guess.
It is, man.
It's better than some, like, mount drops in Final Fantasy.
But... Absolutely.
Dude, the fuck?
I don't know what to tell you.
It's crazy because, like, I think the frustrating thing, maybe people who have been on the job hunt for a long time before can attest to this, is that advice on how to improve, like, your resume, how to improve, like, the method that you're applying and stuff, it just seems random, right? Like, I'll go to one place and I'll ask, like, one person and be like, oh, okay, you work for, like, a hiring agency. Like, how do you like my resume and blah, blah, blah. And they'll give you a bunch of tips. And then you'll go to like, oh, hey, like you work in an HR department and you hire people, like, what? And they'll give you the complete opposite, right? And mm-hmm. It's just a total dice roll about who's going to like your resume. And
they're for sure.
And it's just like, God damn, this sucks.
Yeah, for sure.
It's terrible, Vince. It's terrible. It's draining.
Oh, that's okay. It happens.
No.
Yeah, I get there.
No.
Don't worry. I'll join you soon. Don't worry.
Nice.
Don't worry.
Suffer with me.
I won't suffer.
No, yeah. Well, you're in finance. Everyone's always hiring for finance.
Yeah. I think people are hiring more for programming, though.
Like finance programming?
No, just programming.
Oh, yeah. And I did that diploma. I hated it.
Oh.
I never wanted to do it again.
I was going to say, because, yeah, like, that's if I could go back, that's what I would do.
Dude, you think finance is boring? Ha, damn.
Yeah, but at least programming pays you well.
Finance pays pretty well.
Not as good as programming for the amount of work you have to do. No way.
Yeah, if you like looking for, like, where did this money come from? Why am I extra? Why am I over? It, like, coding has exactly that, but it's like, why doesn't this thing compile? What line? And you search through like 20,000 lines of code to realize you had an extra enter space, or like something wasn't tabbed over one tab, and you're just like, God damn it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't disagree with you there. I think audio issues. I don't know where we went.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
Yeah. for the listener, it's not going to sound like anything.
But. Yeah, it'll just be us confused. Like the Alzheimer's is kicking in again.
Absolutely. Maybe that's we're giving the audience, you know, that first-hand experience. That's the only thing type of experience you get here, actually.
But yeah, I was doing that final project and I was searching through thousands of lines of code and I found an extra comma, and the one extra comma was the reason it wouldn't compile.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I can't do this forever. I can't do this for my life.
That's true. No, you're not wrong. Like, you're right. There's many similarities between the two fields, but I still think at the low end, programming pays you more.
I think the ceiling is higher in finance, though.
Yeah, but I'm not. Let's be real. I'm not thinking about, like,
you're gonna be taking clients out to Nobu, dude. No. You gotta put money into offshore accounts, homie.
No.
I have a secret sex plane that nobody knows about, and I need to hide the financials.
Keep it on the down low. No one knows about that. No one's supposed to know about that.
Me and my good buddy. All right.
Yeah.
Jillian Maxwell.
What?
What?
Who?
Is that her name, Jillian?
I
thought it was like something. I know her last name is Maxwell. Who? Yeah, the wife of the pedophile plane guy.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I couldn't. The only name that starts with G that's come into my head is Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. Who's Ghislaine? It might be Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine. It might be Ghislaine Maxwell. Jobless Reincarnation.
Oh, my God. You fucking weeb.
You would love Ghislaine.
I probably would.
Because she's like a buff.
Oh!
Warrior.
Dude.
Huge boobs.
Yes.
Six pack. Cat.
Okay, you lost me. I was so close. You lost me.
Okay, that's enough. Let's get this show on the road. Listen, I want to open up with a big one today.
All right. Did you remember?
No.
Damn.
I didn't.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways, it was Pokemon Day.
Oh, yeah.
On this past Sunday was the Pokemon Day because I believe exactly 25 years ago, that was when Pokemon Red and Blue, or I guess Red and Green,
in Japan,
launched in Japan. And so to celebrate, they had a whole bunch of news, and Nintendo had a Pokemon Presents Direct, and they showed off some cool stuff. But let's just cut to the chase. There's a lot of mobile shit.
Hell yeah. Big news, you can hire the Pelican to do deliveries in Pokemon Cafe, and also Victini's there.
That's the one.
That's the big news, baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Arceus is going to have some content for free.
You can gym battle now.
Yeah. But they announced 9th-gen Pokemon.
That's the big one.
Yeah. Scarlet and Violet. And there's two big news about this one. This is the first real deviation from the formula in that this is an open-world generation. So a la Arceus.
Mm-hmm.
The second big news is that it launches this year.
Two Pokemon games in a year, baby.
Yeah, that's wild. And they showed off the starters. They've got the cat grass type, apple fire type.
You mean Sprigatito.
Yeah. They got that one. They got the apple fire type.
You mean Fuecoco.
And then they got Donald Duck.
Quaxly.
That's the one.
They got Donald Duck. That dude is kind of Donald Duck. But I like Fuecoco. I don't know, man. The fucking fire apple looking kid.
You know what? He's got the same vibes as Totodile.
Yeah, he's gonna turn into like Feraligatr or some shit. Like some.
I don't know.
Cool.
What do you think an apple will evolve into?
A bushel.
Because if he's just like fire tree.
Hell yeah.
No.
Like a haunted tree.
Like, are we talking like grass fire? That's an awful.
Well,
Pokemon
I don't think
type.
I don't know if any of these starters can overlap an element, right? Usually they're either whatever normal,
no way.
They're just pure.
No, they have. They definitely.
Have they?
Blaziken is
fire fighting. But there's no other fighting starter. Like, usually the starters don't overlap in any way.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, for sure. Yeah, maybe you're right. All right, man, you got me there, okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Get fucking wrecked, nerd.
Okay. But yeah, so that's the big news. And it looks hype. I'm super pumped. I can't wait to see what comes of this.
In the same way that I was excited for Arceus, I'm probably more prone to play Scarlet and Violet because it is such a detour from the past 25 years of Pokemon.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And it, oh God, I'm so old. I've been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
I've been there since Pokemon Red and Blue. And I'm over, I'm over going down a route to have a guy stop me because I don't have a gym badge.
Right? Do you think, like, that's not going to happen, though? I feel like that could happen still.
Yeah, but it, at least, like, the areas will be wider and mm-hmm. the gameplay will be different, right? So maybe,
well, we hope so, yes.
Yeah, maybe it won't be as sandboxy as an Arceus. Maybe there'll be some more structure to it, but anything different at this point.
Okay.
Honestly, give me Pokemon Pinball 2.
Wow.
Just bring it back, baby. Really? Hell yeah. Rumble Pack in the Switch.
You really want Pinball 2?
Give me Pinball 2.
No one wants that.
I want it. That's me. That's one person.
All right. Well, whatever. yeah, no, it looks awesome. I heard an interesting, I guess, rumor or a bit of speculation, though, mm-hmm. in that I guess with Pokemon moving its schedule and having a big game this holiday,
mm-hmm.
Nintendo usually only has one big game per holiday season.
But is this Nintendo?
Yes, it's Nintendo. All it's right. absolutely Nintendo.
Okay, all right.
The speculation is that Breath of the Wild 2 might not make its 2022
delayed
holiday
game. Baby.
So, I mean, maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's all speculation. But it's not unfounded. It's not, like, impossible. I can't remember the last time we had two gigantic games. Actually, it probably was Breath of the Wild
and Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. But wasn't that because Breath of the Wild got super delayed to that point?
I thought they were all around launch.
No, I mean, like, Breath of the Wild was supposed to come out a year prior.
Oh, on the previous console.
Well, it did, on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Right?
True, true, true.
So, I don't know. We'll see. If not, I mean, for as much as I like to shit on the Switch, they still got some heavy hitters to grab my attention.
Yeah.
And I do now, I really do. I feel like I should be playing Arceus or Arceus.
You own it. You're the one that has it.
I should be playing
But I just don't.
But there's some other open world games I've been playing that I'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's Pokemon Presents February 27th.
Was there anything else in there? Like, you're not interested in any of the mobile stuff at all, like the MOBA or the gacha?
No.
You don't want to be a gym leader?
The best that ever was?
You don't want to be the very best that no one ever was?
No.
You don't want to catch them as your real test to train them for your cause?
Nope.
Damn.
I'm not Hitler.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The fuck?
Yeah, okay, cool. That was that. Next up, Netflix put out their trailer for Formula One's Drive to Survive Season 4.
They make this look so crazy. Like, it's an action movie, and they're, like, interviewing the war-torn survivors.
Well, that's just it, right? 2021 is arguably the most insane season in Formula One.
I've heard. I heard it was nuts.
And I remember watching this season being like, Netflix just must be frothing at the mouth right now.
Look,
like,
at all this content.
Because as much as I've enjoyed seasons 1 through 3, there hasn't been that much drama. Like, they've got to make it up as they go.
Mm-hmm.
They use certain quotes out of context and put it against different, you know, big drama. But this year, like, there's enough real drama that
they can keep everything in context.
Yeah. And so I'm very excited to see this, but more than that, I just want to know which side they'll side with on the finale. I've talked about it before. Last year's Formula One season, the ending was a bit controversial. Everyone has an opinion, but I want to know which opinion Netflix is going to take.
They're going to be on the right,
which is what
right side?
Which is what?
We're anti Lewis Hamilton on this podcast, right?
Are we?
He's been winning too much.
Oh, see, right? But that's just
taken down a peg.
That's just it. Like, I don't know.
Rules are rules, baby.
I don't. But that's just it. They broke the rules.
Rules are rules.
They had to break the rules so that he couldn't win.
Listen, when you make the rules, any rule becomes a rule.
Break them. Yeah.
Exactly, dude.
So I would like to know, and I would love to know what the viewer opinion is going to be when they see this. Like, I mean,
What is Reddit/r/F1?
Yeah, like, what is the non-form, like, the fans? Because I didn't realize there's a huge contingent of F1 fans who don't watch F1. They just watch this series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just to get the catch up.
Yeah, okay. And that's like, I like, almost everyone I work with their only knowledge of Formula One is this series.
That's interesting, huh?
And so when they asked me about it, I'm like, what are you talking about? That never happened. They're like, but it was in the series. I'm like, oh.
Oh, no. Honey.
So, yeah, it would be interesting to see what side they go with. If Max deserves it or if Lewis deserved to win. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll never know. Next up, there was this wicked trailer. This movie trailer came out of nowhere. Starring Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Called Bullet Train. There's only one Bullet Train. We all know where it is. It's in Japan.
It's in Japan.
Brad Pitt is on it, and he has to secure a case. A suitcase.
Secure the case.
And
secure the file.
Why? Who knows? From who? Lots of people, apparently. It looks like a wild movie trailer.
I saw this, mm-hmm. and before I saw from the director of Deadpool 2, mm-hmm. I actually thought that this was Wes Anderson making an action movie.
No,
like
way.
The way it was filmed and how many people were in it and all like the different like quirky little dialogue exchanges and stuff. I was like, is Wes Anderson like, is he branching out?
No,
holy shit,
no.
And then he did not. It was the Deadpool guy.
Gotta say, I love Brad Pitt in these weirder roles he's been taking as he's gotten older.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Well, now that he doesn't like, he is the established. He's the Hollywood DILF, right?
Now he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he
yeah.
is. But he also, like, it doesn't seem like he has to take roles that always make him hot anymore. Like, it probably, I feel like it started all with, like, Inglourious Basterds, where he just plays an idiot American
yep.
trying to kill Nazis.
For
right?
sure, for sure.
And then, like, his career just started taking all these weird roles, and I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait to see this. So, it looks exciting. Just check out the trailer, because I guarantee you guys will be blown away.
I don't even know if we could explain it if we wanted to.
Probably
it's
not.
It's so crazy.
It's wild is what it is.
Yeah, Brad Pitt wants a case, and they're on a bullet train, and that's about it.
Looks good. Can't wait to see it. My final bit of news this week is we got to say sayonara to Funimation.
Oh, really?
So as you know, Sony had acquired Crunchyroll.
Yes.
But prior to that, they acquired Funimation.
True.
Who do you think has a bigger brand in the anime sphere?
Crunchyroll.
So they've decided to slowly kill off the Funimation brand.
Nice.
And what they've done is they've put everything on Funimation onto Crunchyroll.
So here's the thing. Crunchyroll is strictly a streaming service, right?
Yes.
They have manga too, but they're a digital-based platform.
Yeah.
Funimation handles all like the DVDs.
Yeah.
A lot of subs.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So are they just turning Funimation into Crunchyroll as like a conglomerate? Or are they still keeping it like Funimation is going to focus on like physical?
You mean like is Funimation just strictly going to be a distributor for anime?
Yeah, for DVDs and Blu-rays and
so
translations.
So that part,
stuff.
I'm not too sure because they say they want to phase out the brand. So I'm not entirely sure. If anything, it will just be called... No, they're getting rid of it because it used to be called the Funimation Global Group LLC. It's
yeah.
just going to be operated as Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll LLC or the Crunchyroll LLC or whatever.
Yeah, so okay. Whether or not they're going to keep with the Funimation for, I guess, DVD releases, it remains to be seen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it either just moves directly to, like, Sony.
Yeah.
Or if we start seeing Crunchyroll become the publisher.
So remember, kids, go get your Funimation Blu-rays now, and then they're vintage.
Oh, God. I have a lot of them, actually.
You do have a lot of anime Blu-rays, which is very surprising.
But I am the anime expert.
Yeah, but you're also the digital man.
Oh, right. Yeah, I am. But there's... The anime streaming, for as successful and accessible it is...
I would say it's more accessible than like a Netflix, because when's the last time you heard of something going off of Crunchyroll's content library?
You don't hear about it. Happens all the time.
Does it?
After the end of every like core or season.
Oh, really? I've never heard of it.
It can
seen
vanish.
It.
And what happened is like the rights would be like Crunchyroll could stream simulcast, but the minute it was over, it had to come off.
Oh,
and then
it'd
go to Funimation for perpetual
okay.
for perpetuity.
Okay.
But anyways, that's besides the point because they're all in the same place. But no. The quality you get on Blu-rays is still superior to what you can stream.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike where if I'm watching on Netflix or Disney Plus,
yeah.
it's actually better than the Blu-rays I own.
Okay.
So it's just one of those weird scenarios. But yeah, goodbye Funimation, and that's one more subscription service I canceled this week.
Nice. Well, did you have to cancel? It doesn't exist.
Well, they don't go offline yet. Okay. I don't know when. I think it's a slow phase out, but I canceled it. Once they said everything's on Crunchyroll, I just canceled it and then deleted the apps off my services. And
nice.
There we go.
Cool.
Yeah. Those are my picks.
Speaking of saying goodbye to things, we should all say goodbye to the original VTuber.
Ah, yes. My favorite.
Kizuna Ai, who... I think long ago, I don't think Kizuna Ai is even the original person who did it anymore.
No, she switched.
Yeah, she sold like the IP of Kizuna Ai to some company, and then some other girl started doing it.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right? Right?
That's wild. That's like when they first changed Goku's name, or sorry, Goku's voice in the dub, and you're like, what?
Wait a minute.
Or when they did it with Ash, and you're like,
who this?
You're not Ash Pokemon Trainer 1.
Your alternate reality version.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kizuna Ai, she had her final live stream, her last live. It was a 3-hour long live stream concert thing.
Damn.
It was wild. You can watch it all on YouTube. It's all archived. But she has said that she's going on indefinite hiatus from live streaming.
Indefinite hiatus.
So she gone.
Goodbye.
All right. Which is very interesting because I feel like right now is like peak VTuber time.
Yeah, but I do wonder if anyone cares about Kizuna Ai.
Like she's old news. She's like the boomer VTuber.
Well, kind of, only because, well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. She's old hat.
Yeah. And also, like, I guess. I don't know. She was just really well known because, like, she was everywhere. Even fucking, what's his face? Joey the Anime Man did a crossover thing with her at one point before the VTuber space was
a thing.
Flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so they mentioned that there's going to be no more live streams, but there is a anime project that is in the works.
An anime project?
Yeah. So there's going to be a Kizuna Ai anime.
Would I watch an anime about a bunch of VTubers?
No, about a VTuber.
Well, that's even less exciting.
Who knows?
I take that back, because I would totally watch a Hatsune Miku anime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. And Hatsune Miku has, like... She's, like, the Barbie of...
Japan?
Of Japan, basically.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's racing Barbie. Here's racing Hatsune
Miku.
Yeah,
she's in everything.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the one thing that a lot of VTuber fans were kind of groaned and rolled their eyes about was the voice behind Kizuna Ai was saying that, I think you've all been hearing words such as metaverse and NFT lately.
Oh, no.
It sounds really complicated, but new and fun at the same time.
Oh, no.
So they think that they're going to use Kizuna Ai's avatar to break into the NFT space. And the metaverse space, and everyone's like, this...
It all makes too much sense.
This dog shit. Oh, my God.
It all works.
Bot, and now you can own... You can imagine owning Kizuna Ai, and you're the sole owner, because it's on the blockchain,
no,
baby.
Thank you. No, thank you. Okay. Good. Okay. Well, all right.
Continuing saying goodbye to stuff. It's official. Smash Brothers is not a fighting game.
Wait, what? Who said that?
Nintendo said that.
Oh. What a twist.
Because Nintendo is not allowing Smash at Evo this year.
Why?
So recently Nintendo had a partnership with Panda Gaming, Panda Global.
Oh, this sounds like it's all political.
Yeah, and so they're talking about, or there's rumors going around that there's going to be their own like Smash Brothers tournament bracket, like a tournament scene.
Oh.
In kind of the same vein as like the Capcom Pro Tour, but for Smash Brothers.
I can get behind that.
But the difference is Street Fighter's still at Evo. I think this is just a classic case of Nintendo being Nintendo. And if they can distance themselves from any other non-Nintendo IP as far as possible, I bet they can. And I probably didn't help that all of those like pedophile allegations came out of the scene like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, that probably wasn't good either. But yeah, the more nefarious rumor is that like because Sony Interactive owns Evo now.
Yeah, yeah.
That Sony was like, get out of here, kid. We don't want your kind around here.
Nah, that can't be it.
I can't see that happening. But yeah, it's not a big loss because Smash isn't a fighting game. So
wow.
Who cares, bud? Got him.
I was just going to say that.
Dude, I just speak the truth. I speak what comes true to me.
It's the truest fighting game.
Oh, it's a party game. All items, Poke Floats only. Let's go.
It's a fighting game.
Hell yeah. It is the 20th anniversary
of
the Xbox launching in Japan.
Okay.
Anytime we bring up Microsoft and Japan, I think on this podcast, we always meme on the sales numbers and them being dog shit. But a report out of Famitsu this month has the official unit sales of every console generation of Xbox in Japan.
Okay.
So we're gonna play a game here, Vince.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go through all four generations of the Xbox.
Uh-huh.
All right. And I want you to guess how many units sold. Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you a little help. I'll give you a little hint. Okay. Xbox 360, best selling, obviously.
That's not a surprise. Okay. Yeah.
And the Xbox One, worst selling. So I'll give you those two ends.
Xbox One is the worst selling?
Yeah. And then you can work in between there.
Okay.
So how many units do you think that the original Xbox sold in all of Japan throughout its life cycle? The OG baby with the Duke.
250,000.
Ooh, that's mean. Sold 474,992.
All right.
Right. Xbox 360. This was the generation with the big push towards Japan developers and all the Japan exclusives. 360.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 360. Wait, the Xbox One is the worst, you said?
Xbox One is the worst.
So the series is better than the one?
The series is currently better than the one.
Okay, so this changed my numbers. Okay, and you said 400, so...
I'll give you... for this one, it's over a million.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It had to be. 1.7 million.
Ooh, close. 1.6.
Okay.
1.6 mil. Xbox One.
Okay, 200. No, 175,000.
Oh, baby, you're getting closer and closer. 114,000 units.
Oh, wow.
Through its whole life cycle in the whole country.
Dang.
And the last one is the Xbox Series X/S.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is the current one.
Which is the current one. So 6142. Wait, you said Xbox Series?
Xbox Series X and S.
Oh, X and S.
Combined.
220?
140.
Oh, 140.
140,000.
Okay.
It's so...
That's pretty good considering the last gen.
Yeah, it's so crazy hearing these numbers because when anybody talks about gaming consoles in North America,
yeah,
no matter what it is, it's like multi-million unit sellers, right? Unless you're like the Ouya. But when you see like sub 200,000 for a whole generation in a country, that's so nuts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
How badly that that console did over there.
I mean, but that's like... I think that's just more on the Japanese being totally patriotic.
True.
Than anything else.
It could be, yeah.
I don't think... And that's just how Japan is. It's a very closed off culture, right? Mm. You can't do anything better than us.
Yeah, because we do it the best.
Yeah. Like, we are the ones... Like, I guess from the view, eyes of a Japanese citizen, you're like, video games? We are video games. We are Mario.
Exactly.
Right?
We created video
games. What are you trying to tell me that America is better than... Like, it's just never going to happen. But China, though.
But China, though. They make those gacha games.
That's... See, unfortunately, you can't sell Xbox to the Chinese.
True. But you can barely even sell video games anymore to the Chinese.
But if you could, let me tell you.
They would buy the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And then also they have some more interesting stuff too, like the top five best-selling games across all consoles.
I'm sure Halo.
Not even on the list.
What?
Not even close. I'm not going to make you guess, but so number five, I don't know what the fuck Japan is smoking. Number five best-selling out of all the generations, The Last Remnant.
Square.
I guess, but That game's not great.
So I'm guessing the Lost Odyssey's on here?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, not even the good one.
What?
Number four.
Blue Dragon.
Blue Dragon.
I knew it. I was racking. I'm like, there was a trio of games on that 360.
Number three. Yeah. Number three. Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah.
Number two. Star Ocean 4, The Last Hope.
Interesting. Okay.
Number one. Dead or Alive 3 on the original Xbox.
Of course.
It's the best-selling
I forgot Dead Xbox or Alive was exclusive to Xbox.
Bro, I'd go over my friend's house so much to play Dead or Alive. I love that game.
Wow.
But yeah, that's just so you guys finally have a grasp of when we're memeing on Microsoft's performance in Japan. Now you know. Dog shit. I don't even know why they sell consoles there, honestly. After that, we have a series of really odd acquisitions.
How odd?
Epic Games.
Yeah.
They bought Bandcamp.
Okay.
Bandcamp is a website that I use pretty frequently where independent artists can sell their albums and merch. It's like a storefront.
Yeah.
And they sell their music. It's all independent. Yep. If they got vinyl and merch they want to sell, they can sell it through there. If they got just MP3s, you can buy the album and then download the MP3s to own them. And that's the main reason I use it, because I get to own what I buy. But they bought, they bought Bandcamp. And nobody knows why. Because I think it was last year, they bought Harmonix. Because they wanted to do more music-based events in Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
But Bandcamp is largely a host of indie artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody knows how they're going to integrate Bandcamp into Epic, if at all. Because the official statement from Bandcamp is that nothing will change.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, we're still going to pay artists the same amount. We're still going to give you all the features you have. Like, we're not going to turn into a streaming service. Like, everything stays the same. Just nobody knows why they bought it.
Why are we assuming there's a reason?
It could just be a straight diversification.
Because that's, I mean, most companies do this.
Yeah.
Also, maybe they just have cash.
They might just have cash.
You know, like, every time Apple has, like, when was that time they had like $900 billion in cash?
Oh yeah,
just in their ledger,
chilling.
And people are like, "What are you doing with that?"
We're just holding on.
So what they do? They just invested randomly.
Yeah, okay. So it could be that, right? Yeah. Fortnite is the most successful game out there, so it might be. But the other odd one, the one that confused me the most, is Genshin Impact's company, miHoYo, right? They invested $65 million in a company called Energy Singularity. They're a nuclear fusion company that is trying to make nuclear energy.
Mm.
What?
Maybe they just believe in it.
I guess.
Maybe they're just into it.
Dude, but are we going to get Genshin Impact branded nuclear reactors?
No.
Like, on the side of like a nuclear exhaust silo, we have red girl from Genshin.
Genshin, who makes that game again?
miHoYo.
No. I mean, sorry. Where are they located? Where are they from?
I think it's China.
Okay. Then, who knows? I don't know.
Maybe it's some government thing. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure like that wasn't 100% all in their power.
Maybe.
I think it was like, listen, you have all this money.
The state was like, hey, do something, you fucks.
Do you want to be part of this country or what?
Yeah. Do you want to get shut down? We shut down everybody else. We'll do it.
Do all it right? now. Okay.
But that was the oddest one I saw today. I'm just like, that's either just straight diversification or that's like dangerous future where they're dropping like anime bombs on people.
That'd be sick.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, man. If we're going to war and I saw a bomb, but some hot anime girl was coming at me.
Hatsune Miku. I'd be like, well.
I'd be like, you know, ain't the worst way to go. You know,
if I could die by my favorite waifu,
crush
me between your thighs, lady. Let's go.
I hope it comes down playing some music as well. Just,
oh my God, it's so haunting. The fuck? And then after that, with the release of the Steam Deck, Valve has put out a free game. It's called Aperture Desk Job.
Yeah.
It is a playable short, as they call it.
Mm.
And it's just a little game to show off the
Steam Deck.
You can play it on PC as well. It is apparently 30 minutes long.
It's 3 gigs.
3 gigs. It's free. Usually everything Valve brings out is pretty fucking quality.
Yeah. I think the only thing to note here is if you download this game on your PC, it does say requires controller.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Because I think the whole interface is set up for a controller.
The Steam Deck. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the last one. Those are my picks.
You know, speaking of the Steam Deck, I guess I forgot that is running on Linux.
Yes.
And when you connect it to your monitor or whatnot, you're running Linux, right? But every time I see people install Windows on it, you lose all the features of the Steam Deck.
I think there's a way.
Like the sleep function,
yeah.
You lose it immediately.
Really?
Anything they built into that custom OS, you lose it. So it was one of those situations where I was like, oh, I don't know. Would I install Windows on this?
Would I learn how to use Linux?
But then would I use this more than... I know like the draw is, oh, this is a console in your hands and also a computer.
Yes.
But at that point, would you really be using it as a computer?
The thing is like I own a PC, right? If I didn't own a PC and I only owned a Steam Deck, maybe I could see myself switching it up and hooking it up to a monitor.
To do what? Browse the internet?
Yeah, maybe, right? If I didn't have any other option.
All right.
But because I have a laptop, because I have a gaming PC, that would strictly be a handheld mode console.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see myself using it for anything other than that. So
I think it's cool, but it's still not something that interests me.
Okay.
I just feel like if you want PC gaming, you go all the way.
Get a PC.
Get a PC and you go bleeding edge.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I definitely probably would have gotten if I had the money. But
really?
Yeah. Just because it's enticing in the same way the Switch was enticing, where it's brand new technology. Let's see what a high-powered portable console can be and if it's actually any good. Or if it's just the Sega Game Gear of Switch type consoles.
I don't know, because to me it just looks like, what's the difference between that and a gaming laptop? Like, that's all it is, right? It's a gaming laptop.
It's more the handheld portion. Yeah. Like, how does this translate? Are the controls worth it, or should I just have a gaming laptop and then carry a controller around?
Yeah.
Because arguably, now with the size of gaming laptops are more portable than the Steam Deck.
Yeah, that Steam Deck is not small.
It's thick.
Yeah, either way, you're carrying a backpack.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't know.
It's just like an interesting piece of technology, and yeah. I think that's what it's. I'm not like expecting great things out of it. Yeah. It's more of an interest case.
Yeah. It's also not as cheap as I thought it was. Like, it's pretty expensive.
$1,000.
I think for us, if you want the top end model, it's $900.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, no, if anyone got one, like, I would love to know.
Yeah, if anybody got one, like, write in. I want to know what it's like.
Yeah, just, and like, specifically why you wanted this. Like, is it because you didn't have a gaming PC, or, I don't know.
You were just going to buy it anyways, like me, or?
Yeah, it'd be fascinating. Like, I know, I guess kids would love this.
Yeah, that's an expensive toy, though.
No, it's not.
$900.
Well, the base model is like four, right?
Okay.
And what's the difference between that and a mom, I want a PS5 for Christmas, right? So
yeah, I guess the difference is like the PS5, they're not carrying around as a fumbly kid, and it's just staying on like a shelf.
Again,
it's one of those things where like I would never buy, if I had a kid when the 3DS was a thing, I would never buy them a 3DS, but I definitely would buy them the 2DS.
I don't know, man. The amount of kids I know with iPads. And those are all like
irresponsible.
$600, $700, $800, $900.
Irresponsible. Would never allow that shit.
Listen, if my kid wants it, no, I'm gonna give my kid an iPad.
Oh God.
Be like, you learn how to use this.
It'll be a requirement for the future.
Exactly. And now you gotta tune my car.
Oh my God.
Just hook it up. Let's go.
You're gonna have what is it? EMS or whatever that thing is?
The ECU team.
ECU, yeah. What's EMS? Emergency services.
No, that's the fast shipping method.
Okay.
Yeah. Emergency shipping. No, I'll be like, kid, I need you to flash my ECU. I need more power.
Yeah. I don't need a computer to tell me what's wrong with my throttle response. All right. Oh my God, that movie's so good. It comes up in every situation. Go watch Tokyo Drift. Oh my God.
The fuck, are they paying you?
Dude, like, that movie's so good.
Shut up.
Hell yeah.
All right. Anyways, that was it for our picks, I think.
Boys in their muscle cars.
Oh no. Stop it. Stop it. Stop.
All right. You know what? I'll stop. But.
STHAP.
I'm going to talk about my week.
Oh.
All right. So I've been doing a little bit of everything. I've been dabbling. All right. Started up some Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I got to where you get your first upgrades. You get the grip on your hand. You get the eyeball.
Oh, so you get scanned?
From your doctor friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got the hottest tech on the market, baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, bro, I can't afford that. And he's like, don't worry. When you're at the top, don't forget about where you came from, you know? I'm like, damn, Vin. The fuck? Damn, yeah. Dom. That guy's cool.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen to him. I'm so sad. He's too cool to live.
Oh.
I met my friend or whatever. That game is running very good, even on a 1080.
Okay. Are you playing with a controller, keyboard, mouse?
I switch between. I'm trying to get used to, like, see which one I like the most. I think I might just switch to controller full time. Because I really don't think the PC is, or the mouse and keyboard is, like, adding anything.
No.
Yeah. It really feels like a lot of that game is built for just, like...
It was tuned for a console.
Yeah, it was tuned
for
a console.
Despite it being, like... presented its best on a PC.
Yeah.
It was tuned for a console.
So, aiming's not like precise enough for me to care with the mouse and keyboard because there's always like a little bit of randomness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I rolled a dude. I'm a street kid.
Oh, you're from the streets.
I'm from the streets, bro. Hey, yo, SA, what's happening? And I think I went like max strength. And
you just want to carry all the guns?
I want to carry all the guns.
Do you want gorilla arms? Is that what you want?
So that's the thing. I want to partake in the boxing thing.
Oh, the fighting.
Yeah, but I don't want to get... I don't want to be disqualified for my gorilla arms.
Oh.
What are the other stats in that? There's intelligence.
There's tech.
Tech.
There's cool.
Oh, cool. I don't think I put anything in cool.
I think cool is like the sneaking one.
Yeah. So I did body... And was it technical ability? It might, whatever was like a crafting based thing. I did those two mostly.
I think.
Yeah, I did those two mostly.
Okay.
So I'm definitely planning because usually in these games I play a lot of stealth. Like in Skyrim, I did the everyone's least favorite gameplay style, which is stealth bow.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, oh, look, here's an encounter. 20 times damage. I win. Goodbye.
Yeah. I think we all did that. Yeah.
It's so busted. So I want to play a bit differently. I think I want to get in people's faces. I want to just be shotgun blasting people, like, just going head first, right? And getting cool stuff while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so far, the game's pretty good. I haven't got far enough into the game to really say anything more than that. My sidekick's kind of annoying, but we'll see.
Jackie.
Yeah. He's a little, maybe he'll grow on me. I don't know.
Jackie's cool.
Okay. I'll wait.
So it's running good, you said, huh?
Yeah. I got a solid 30 frames a second.
Ooh.
I'm not running it on max.
Ooh.
There's no ray tracing.
Ooh.
I'm running it on high.
Ooh.
So I think the only thing I'm missing is like some of the ultra shaders and stuff.
So the difference between high and ultra, you probably won't notice, to be honest. But honestly, drop it to low.
Oh, no.
Get that 60 FPS.
No.
That's what you need.
That's it, man. That city's dense.
It is.
It's so crazy.
It's when very
you, like,
dense.
When you look up and you're like, it's no wonder this took forever. Look how detailed this like cityscape is.
There's a lot of stuff going on in that world.
Yeah. It's kind of
so
a
you
marvel.
Haven't gone to like Chinatown?
Nope.
Japantown?
Nope.
Damn.
None. I've been to the tutorial.
Nice.
I've been to that one broken down apartment building where I have to save the girl from the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
The beginning.
How did you find that mission? Was it hard for you? Or
no, they just forced me to stealth it, so it was really easy.
Oh, you didn't try and just jump in and boom, boom?
Oh, I just assumed it was a stealth mission because I assumed I had to save somebody. But then they were already like conked out. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I didn't realize that was a stealth mission until my third playthrough.
Oh my God. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did that. And yeah, and then I got a virus of some sort, went to the doc. He's like, no viruses here.
Oh yeah. 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 Cause you got that chip.
Yeah. He's like, I had to do a chip and then I got infected. And he's like, don't worry, but I ran a Avast antivirus. I ran some malware bites in your brain.
That game is so cool when they do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is.
It's really immersive. But
it was really creepy when they did the eyeball transplant. Oh. And he's holding your new eye.
And you can see.
And you can see him put it into your face. And you're like, oh my God.
It's wild.
It's so weird.
Yeah, the whole game's like that. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's really well thought out. But are you playing on normal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was like a little highlighted thing under hard.
And I saw that too. So I was like, is that like the suggested game?
Is that like the recommended
way I don't to know. Play so it? On my PS5 copy, yeah, that's what I'm playing it on.
Okay.
Hard.
Yeah, and so far.
And it's hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so far I'm having no problems, but yeah. We'll see. But it's good. I hope to play some more.
Can't wait to get a sword.
Oh, yeah. Sword. Paul, plus I got max strength. Hell yeah. I started up No More Heroes 1 again.
On the Wii?
On the Switch.
Oh, all right. They released them there. Like 1 and 2?
Yeah, 1 and 2. So I have 1 and 2 on the Switch now because my limited run editions came in a while ago.
Right. I remember you ordering those. Yep.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to... I played a little bit of it, and I'm like, yeah, this would be a streamable game.
So okay.
I think I'm going to hold off, reset the level I beat, and then maybe just stream it.
Okay.
Do whatever. Because I want to play 3. I have 2 friends who have beat No More Heroes 3.
And they're like, it's great.
And they're like, this game is fucking insane. And they mention nothing about the quality of the game. They just mention that it's batshit crazy.
That it goes places.
That it goes places. And I'm like, I'm in. I don't care if the gameplay is subpar. I'm in. I just want to see where it goes. And then I started Lost Ark. I got through the tutorial area. I did everything with the beta that I had done before. And I got all my Twitch drops. And I'm like, now that I see like all of the mechanics coming together, and I'm like, oh, this really is a gacha game. Like, this is a gacha game trapped in an ARPG body.
And you can't wait to play it more.
I don't know how long I'm going to last being a free player. I think that I'm really looking forward to Path of Exile 2.
I'm just glad I have so many other games to play.
Yeah.
That I'm not tempted to go dive into there.
Yeah, I am kind of tempted. I haven't played a lot of it either because I am still playing like Civ with my friends every once in a while.
Mm.
And we're like turned 300 into a 500 turn game.
Oh, bye.
Currently. Dude, it turns out when you have like an idea of how you want to run your empire, you do a lot better than just building randomly. It's kind of crazy.
Pro tip. It also applies to life.
What? No way. That's nuts.
If always plan something out.
That's crazy.
Don't get me wrong. There are times when you can just wing it. It all comes to you when it comes to you.
Who knew?
But 9 times out of 10, if you got a plan, generally you'll be pretty successful.
That's wild. So I'm playing Eleanor of the Aqua Teen. She's
Is that a fucking Teen Titan? What?
No, it's the Aqua Team Hunger Force character. No. It's some. She's like some world leader who was like a queen in both Britain and somewhere else.
All right, like, sure, I believe
for some
you.
Reason, I don't remember. But her whole gimmick is that you want to have other cities close to you. You want to have basically borders touching because all your border cities, they have a special ability where like every piece of like great work, so like a great artist, a great music piece in your cultural centers in your border cities,
yep,
they exert loyalty pressure 9 tiles out. And so when you have people close to you, you can easily stack your border cities to drain their loyalty. And then when their loyalty hits 0, you automatically take over their city instead of it becoming a free city. So like as a blob, you kind of like take over wider and wider. The thing is that that's really fucking hard.
I can imagine. It doesn't sound easy.
And I was looking up a Civ 6 tier list the other day.
Oh, no.
And she is literally in LOL tier. Just like the meme tier. What are you doing playing this character? I'm like, oh, man. She sounded too good to be true.
You got cooked.
I did. I got cooked. What else did I do, though? I played the new KOF.
Yes, the game that you've been showing me for like
the past year and a half.
Years.
That game's good.
I feel like I know a lot about this game.
You should. That game's really good.
Good how? Good why?
So King of Fighters, over the past couple of years, they've taken graphical change, let's say.
Yeah, they went to, instead of the hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn sprites. Absolutely gorgeous sprites, by the way.
They went the way of Guilty Gear.
Yeah. Well, not...
What are you talking about? They took anime and put them in 3D models.
They went more in the vein of...
Guilty Gear.
The Berserk animated 3D.
All right. Whereas Guilty Gear got that...
They got the Ufotable treatment.
I see. Yeah.
But...
So this game looks ugly, is what
you're telling me. No, the game in this iteration finally looks passable.
I don't know what to take from that. You're like, oh my God, it's taking years, but the game finally looks passable. Like, am I supposed to be impressed? Am I supposed to be...
Yeah, because SNK is a small indie company. Oh, right? Shit. They don't have a lot of capital to work with.
I don't care.
Right?
Isn't Arc Systems a small company too?
No, bro, they make so much money. What are you talking about, kid? Right.
They're a small company.
They're millionaires. They're bajillionaires.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Isn't Platinum a small company too?
Yeah, true. Platinum makes some dope shit. But yeah, so I think they're in a position to where I think they're learning the 3D landscape in terms of making games, and the game just isn't laughably ugly anymore. But the gameplay continues the track record of being absolutely tight and stellar. They have added some auto combos for people who are new to the game.
Auto combos.
So just like punch, 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 punch. And if you got some super meter, Buster Wolf, baby.
I guess you can't be a modern fighting game without an auto combo.
I don't think so. Especially in this game, because while every single major fighting game is kind of catering themselves to the more casual audience, Street Fighter V made it so that the hardest link to do in the game is now 3 frames.
Yeah.
Guilty Gear combos are not hard in Strive and also do like 70% damage.
Yeah.
King of Fighters was like, all right, we'll give you an auto combo. That's cool, but that's all you get.
Huh.
All right. We still have 3 different types of jumps. We still have backdash invincibility. We still have guard cancel. We have like 4 different types of guard cancels. We have guard crush that splats you against the wall. We have 3 different levels of super. We have a max mode where you can just do multiple supers in one combo by only using one bar. Like, there's so much shit in this. And, oh, all the hard inputs still there. They just kept it for like, we know our audience. We know the only people who are going to play King of Fighters is the hardcore King of Fighters crowd.
Yeah.
And we'll throw in an auto combo there for the people who want to pick it up and just to kind of like trick them into getting into it.
Yeah.
But other than that, it is like, dude, that game's hard as fuck. Oh my God. Doing any combos other than a auto combo is pretty brutal.
Damn. It just makes me miss and long for the days of when fighting games, when you would choose your characters, it would then ask you if you wanted beginner, advanced, manual,
true, simple, stylish, or whatever.
Oh
yeah.
Man, I miss those days.
Those were, well, listen, you have to go stylish or because simple's not tournament legal.
Doesn't matter,
dude.
I mean, it keeps you competitive.
I guess
keeps you competitive.
But yeah, the new characters are really cool. There's a lot of nice additions. I don't know what the story is going on in KOF because
there's a story in this game.
There's a continuous story in KOF. KOF has been one timeline since 94.
This is stupid.
Dude, if you want to get into the KOF lore.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Just wait until the KOF anime, and then we'll get into...
Actually, one of these days, I should just watch the Guilty Gear cutscenes.
Oh, I got this guy, he made a whole lore timeline video.
Wow.
Because it turns out, any Guilty Gear game released is canon.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
You know the pachinko games?
Yeah. They're included.
Those are canon stories in the pachinko that continue on in the franchise.
That's wild,
dude. Daisuke doesn't give a fuck. All right.
Guess so.
Those are good. But yeah, King of Fighters. So the thing, the reason I said I don't really understand what's going on with the story is because a lot of characters who are supposed to be dead are not dead.
Mm.
And I don't know if, like, usually DLC characters are just like, all right, we're having fun with the timeline. We're just going to bring anybody. But there are, like, the Orochi team is back. And they supposedly died in 98.
And supposedly.
Supposedly, right? And sometimes they bring certain characters back for certain reasons. Like, Ash Crimson is back, but I thought Ash died in the last game because it was supposed to be, I think the last hand-drawn game was supposed to be, like, Ash's final storyline game. And there's just, like, a bunch of characters who are canonically dead, and they're just in the game still, and I don't know why.
This is wild.
But also, Terry Bogard's back, baby. He's got a hat. He's got a jacket. He looks sick. He does Buster Wolf. Does power dunks. It's good. Good.
But not Terry Bogirl.
Terry, no. Was it? Well, what was her name?
I can't remember.
Was it? I think it was just Terry still.
It was just Terry, yeah. Terry.
I kind of, oh, man. I kind of wish they brought back the Gal Fighters characters. Yeah. That would have been cool. Oh. Maybe DLC in the future. Who knows?
One day.
But yeah, KOF continues to be King of Fighters. It's extremely hard if you are new to fighting games. This is not an entry level game because you have to learn three characters and all the characters are hard. So,
okay.
There you go. But I think the thing I've been doing most of my week is I've been repairing video game consoles.
Like yours?
Mine and some friends who like commissioned me to fix some stuff.
Oh, okay.
So over the past like week or two, I've been trying to fix my original Xbox.
Oh, I saw your stories. Looked like a fun time.
I don't know what's wrong with it. So,
okay, I'm going to offer you some advice.
All right.
Did you make sure that it was plugged in?
It was plugged in. It's true. It was.
Did you try another power supply?
I only had... So the thing with the original Xbox is that the power supply is inside the console. I only have one original Xbox, so I can't swap out the power supply.
What about the cable?
I only have one cable.
Use the one from your PC.
What?
Isn't that not the same one? No.
No, the one in the back of the original Xbox is kind of, it's kind of like the PS2 one, but the connectors are two round instead of one round and one square. Like
then
the
PS2. Use your PSP one.
Maybe I don't want to short it or something. Like if it's too high of a voltage or too low.
No, you just need the cable. You said right. The, yeah. Like the power supply. Like you just need the cable. It's fine.
Okay. All right. I'll try, but
I swear to God,
if it's the cable, yeah. I'm gonna lose my mind because I went through so much. So first off, I needed to clean it. The shit was dusty.
Yeah, that makes sense. Been 20 years, 25 years.
It's still
years.
Dusty. Yeah. And when I bought this thing, it was dusty because I bought it used.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
But it worked for years. Okay. It worked for years. So I opened it up, cleaned it out, got a little rubbing alcohol, a nice little toothbrush, cleaned up the motherboard, opened up all the power, the heat sinks. Scraped off all the old what's that solution you put on CPUs?
Oh,
thermal paste.
Yeah.
I scraped off all the old thermal paste, put new thermal paste on. Usually there's the problem they say is like there's a power connect like on the power supply. There's two connectors that connect the all like the capacitors and shit to the output.
Mm.
So I unsoldered those and resoldered it with new stuff and just nothing. God damn, what the... So I gave up. I don't know what I'm going to do. So either I'll go try that new cable if that cable is just bunk, or maybe I found some websites that just sell power supplies. Like they gutted it from other dead consoles, tested that they work, and then they sell them as separate parts. So maybe I'll try that. And then the other thing I did was replace the clock battery on my friend's GameCube.
The CMOS?
Yeah, the CMOS battery. And on the GameCube, it's soldered to the board, so I had to buy...
It's soldered? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had to buy clock batteries with tabs, like positive and negative metal tabs, so that I could solder it back into the board. And the one thing I've learned from trying all these repairs and stuff, soldering an electronic repair is a lot less, at least at the level I'm doing it, is a lot less daunting than I thought it would be.
Mm. It's honestly, you could be sloppy and no one will know.
Yeah. It's crazy how much like leeway you can have with these electronics. Mm-hmm. I would imagine like there are some certain things you got to follow, right? Like if you're replacing a capacitor, make sure it's on positive and negative properly. And that's like no-brainer shit.
Yeah, yeah. But you're talking about the act of soldering.
The act of soldering.
Yeah.
Like, when you have flux
yep.
to make sure the solder goes where it needs to go, mm-hmm. that's basically cheating.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it so easy. And it's kind of, I'm kind of like almost disappointed in myself.
That you put it off so long?
That I've been putting it off, like learning how to fix these for so long. Because okay. I have brought this stuff to people.
Who to do for you?
To do for me. And like the fees weren't bad. It's not like I'm going there and like paying the amount the console was worth or something. But still, I'm like, I could have just did this myself. Even simple things like, oh, your disc, or things you would think are more complicated, sorry, are more simple. So like I open up the disc tray, right? You take apart the DVD drive. And you're like, oh, this the little drive belt for when it opens and closes is pretty loose.
Yeah.
Dude, all you got to do is take that, put it in some boiling water for like a little bit to reshape the plastic, take it out, let it cool, put it back on. Like all these solutions are so easy. And I just didn't realize.
I mean, like that's the mentality with everything though now, right? Like you want to do like a home repair. Like the amount of people I know who don't know how to change a faucet.
Yeah.
But it's like it's very simple to do.
I guess, yeah, because like,
right? And especially with YouTube, it's so easy to learn all these things.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes you just don't have the time, or
you don't got the nerves.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's especially working on cars, right? Like, ask any mechanic. Like, the theory behind it is actually really simple. Mm-hmm. It's just with a car because it's so big. Sometimes you just don't have the tools to do it.
You don't have a jack.
You but understanding the process, very simple.
Yeah, and. I bet, like, obviously the hard part comes from creating those boards, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Mapping out
yeah.
power pathways and making what capacitors need to go where and all that shit. But I'm not touching that. I'm taking someone's completed idea and I'm just like, I take out the one Lego and I put in the other Lego and I use metal glue to make the Lego stay.
Pretty much, yeah.
And yeah, if any of you guys have like old broken down consoles and stuff, just try it yourself.
Or give them away.
Or give them to me. We got a P.O. box courtesy of.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy easy. It's fun. And it saves a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's cool. I think I'll use some of my extra clock batteries, maybe replace the batteries in some of my GBA games. Mm. Or my Game Boy Color games and stuff. Maybe replace those Pokemon batteries. Yeah.
It's wild to think how far we've come in technology, and yet things like those batteries are still a necessity.
Yeah.
Like when you buy a $2,000 motherboard, you still have that.
Yeah, you have component. Like an 80-cent CMOS battery.
And it's just like, why? Like, have we not moved on? Like, has there not been another way? But
yeah,
that's not for me to discover.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where, like, it's so efficient and easy already that it's not worth doing R&D to make something new.
I guess so.
Right?
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't. Yeah.
But also, like, it's not broke, and it's still good. Like, it's not like it's old technology, but we're being lazy, right? It's old technology, and it still works with new technology. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, repairing this stuff has been actually, like, a really fun hobby. I think the thing, though, I need to invest in now is either a multimeter so I can check if electrical currents are going where they need to go.
And plasma cutter.
Hell yeah, brother. No. What's the thing? The air suction.
Vacuum?
Not a vacuum, but like it's like a fan. And for soldering, they have like it's like a charcoal thing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it sucks in all the
fumes. Like ventilation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like a ventilation thing, like a little one. Because right now what I'm doing is I have like a mat that I solder on.
Yeah, where are you doing this actually?
So I have a electric stovetop that I don't like. I just leave it off, right? Obviously, I don't turn on the stove, right? But it's all flush. It's a flat surface.
You're doing this in the kitchen?
Well, it's like a basement kitchen. It's like a combo thing, and so above the stove is the vent.
Yeah, yeah.
For the stove.
Yeah.
So I crank that to like max fan, and then I do it whenever I had to solder. I just put it under there.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when I'm done soldering, I move it back to like a workstation.
This is one of those situations where like I can't wait until, you know, one day you're married.
Yeah.
See what your wife says. This is
when
shit.
I'm soldering on the stove. What are you cooking up, honey? Xbox Power Supply. Come in.
Yeah, it's fresh. Something tells you that won't fly.
This is the bachelor lifestyle, right? I got to enjoy it while I got it.
I guess. Yeah, sure.
Man. Yeah, because the only other space I really got to do... it's too cold to solder outside right now, so I can't like use the shed or the garage. Just because like the temperature difference between solder and whatever is too much. We have like an island kitchen and a kitchen island, and I just put the mat on the island and I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm soldering in the kitchen.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, it's fun. Like there's so many cool YouTube tutorials, like you mentioned, that there's all kinds of cool different repairs. Like the one that maybe I want to get, I don't know if I want to get into, because like it's a whole other process, de-yellowing and de-grimifying plastics.
Where you just like dunk it in a solution for...
Yeah, so you just get hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, you get a bin, you fill it with hydrogen peroxide, throw the plastic in, wrap it in tin foil, and then seal off the top except for a UV light that shines into the thing overnight, and it just... takes away all the yellow.
I've seen a lot of people do this with vintage toys, especially like white ones.
They fuck it up.
Yeah, I've seen so many vintage Transformers just get eaten.
Oh. See, that's the thing. Like, obviously, it's eating away at the plastic to make it like that, right?
It's not, thinning out the plastic. It's not fixing it. It's, you're just shaving off the top.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think there's any other way to get around that, is there?
No.
Right?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's up to you. Like, it's just...
Because I'll watch certain videos, and I'm like, oh, my God, this thing is brand new. Some guy did the... You remember the colored N64s?
Yeah.
Right? Where it was, like, the bottom was, like, a white, and then the top was, like, a translucent color or whatever. Uh-huh. Some guy did a... Like, he had one that was blue, but it was so grimy and dirty that, like, the blue turned to, like, a purple.
Yep.
And the whole white part was just yellow.
Yeah.
He put it in there, took it out. It was, like, it was fresh out of the box.
Yep.
But part of me is like, how badly did that fuck up the case? Like, is that case super crack prone now?
I'm sure it's fine, but what I want to ask you is it still, I don't know, like, do you think in years from now, when these things become real collectible things, if you've done that to you, like, if you've refinished your console, does it lose the value? Or do people want the yellowing?
So the thing is, do people want the yellowing?
Because I'll tell you right now, in the watch world, right? Yeah. If you have like a busted Rolex from the 50s, people don't want you to refinish it. They want all this, like,
even if it's all original parts and stuff?
All original parts, but you have to have it all, like, they want the dial when like the glow in the dark aluminum starts to crack and stuff and fall out, they want that. Right, they want all the scratches on the case.
Interesting.
The minute you refinish it or do it, it's lost all its value.
Wow, weird.
Yeah. So like, it's just one of those things where it's like, I wonder what this will do. Like, I wonder if video game consoles and product and hardware will take that kind of direction. Makes you think twice if you want to fix it now, right?
Yeah. Well, not even like for me personally, I would want it to look new.
New, yeah, for sure.
But there is a step too far, right? Where I know the big thing in the collector community is mods.
Oh, for sure. You make it more modern.
Especially with handheld consoles where people take GBAs and stuff and they put like LED backlit screens. They put like just fun LEDs in the translucent cases. Yeah. They replace all the buttons. And there's a huge community around there that's like, hell yeah. Take all these old consoles, modify them, customize them, do whatever. But in that case, it's like it's like modifying your car,
absolutely. Right?
Where like if you have a stock Supra, like you're in the money, and A, like you're a collector.
Yeah.
But if you have like a fucking JDM'd out wide body kit, put a loud muffler on that shit, like it's worth nothing to nobody except for you.
Yeah.
So it is pretty divisive, I'll say, in the collecting community, and I'm more on the side of like I don't like restorations are fine with me. But like the whole modernization modding stuff, I'm not really a fan of.
So like, cause like I've always seen the ones where it's like, this is a Super Nintendo, but we put an HDMI port in the back.
Yeah, like that kind
that
of stuff.
That stuff, I'm like, I'm down.
So that stuff is, I am fine with that if it's external. Because a lot of those.
Oh, no, I need it to be like.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, cut out the hole.
I can't do that. I can't do that. When people like modify their N64s so that there's like a HDMI or a SCART output.
Yeah.
On like they solder it to the board, like that kind of stuff.
Give
like,
me it. There's an expansion slot. Let me do
yikes.
It.
And I almost did that because you had sent me the GBA consoleizer where you have to take out on the original GBA, you have to take out the screen and then solder this like HDMI output device.
Yeah.
But then the Pocket was announced, and I was like, all right, well, I'm good. So I don't care about that kind of stuff unless it actually modifies the system itself. So like that's why I like those HDMI cables that I have from Hyperkin. So like the PSP HDMI out, I don't have to modify my PSP. I just have to plug it in and that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, hopefully I can get this Xbox to work. I think the next project I have is my friend wants me to, he bought, you remember when they re-released those GameCube controllers for the Switch when Smash Bros. Came out?
Yeah.
So he bought one of those, but he doesn't like the way all the triggers and stuff feel.
Okay.
So he wants me to gut his broken GameCube controller and put the original springs and shit into the new working controller.
Okay.
But I cannot find a tutorial for the life of me online, and it seems very precise with that kind of stuff. So I'll see. But I'm sure once I get started, maybe it'll be the same as soldering, where I'm just like, this shit's easy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's been my week. It's been a lot of hands-on repair. It's been pretty fun.
Interesting. Speaking of which, like, this week is, it's the time of year for me where I go and redo or do general maintenance on my bike to, like, you know, fix up everything for the coming season. And this year I thought, I don't want to do it. So I went to a bike store.
Oh, wow.
They did it for me. They were running a promotion. I was like, yeah, it seems reasonable.
All right.
So I didn't. I came back.
They fucked it up.
It's never felt better.
Oh, no. You're like, I've been bad at this the whole time.
Like, it's not that I've been bad, but, like, there's just, like, there's shortcuts I took that I knew I took.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's because I don't have the tool. It's like, yeah, okay.
What if you bought the tool?
Nah. But it was fun because, like, they did it within half a day. So I was like, oh, I already have it back? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, cool. So it's been cool. So that was fun. And then this week, March 1st, Lego dropped 60 new sets.
Mm-hmm.
I was after 1, 2, 3, 4 of them.
Oh, my God. How many did you get?
One.
Oh, really? That competitive?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then,
you there at the crack of dawn?
No, so I had work. No. Well, actually, I was thinking about taking the morning off to go.
Dude.
But then I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to waste my vacation time to go to the Lego store.
And now you regret it.
Well, it's Lego. They always come back into stock.
Okay.
I think they're going to be in stock tomorrow morning anyway.
You weren't at the Halo 2 midnight release?
No, I was not, but I was at the Halo 3.
Okay.
But yeah, so the one I got was like the Aston Martin set, but the one I really wanted was the Mercedes F1.
Yeah.
That was gone. The other one I wanted was a Lamborghini Countach. Gone.
Of course.
And then the other one I wanted was the McLaren F1 Technic set, the really big one.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out immediately, apparently.
All right.
So I was like, well, that sucks.
Connects are cool, it seems.
I was like, that sucks. But I guess it's that time of year. F1's coming back into the season on March the 20th. And then the, like I said, the Netflix show is coming out on the 11th. So I guess people want that F1 stuff. Myself included.
Dude, just think about all the people who built that car and then they dismantled it to throw those pieces into their mock sets.
I know.
Terrible.
How could they do this?
they don't even care about F1.
I'll get them eventually. The shitty part is that someone did buy all the sets.
Oh.
And then sent me a picture.
Who was this? Someone we know?
Paul Chu.
You fucking bitch. Dude, he's out here getting us to answer questions. And now he's harassing, cyberbullying us? Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was like, you suck, Paul. But
our listeners have no boundaries. Holy shit.
Maybe, I don't know. I guess he just has a better area in terms of stock. Or maybe he did take his vacation days. Or maybe he's working from home on that day and he was able to just do whatever he did.
He just, you know what? He played hooky. He didn't even tell anybody.
I should have done that. Oh, I couldn't, though. I had so many meetings.
Yeah. Just, like, oh, my God, my internet was down all day. know what happened. Vince, were you at Yorkdale? No, that wasn't me. That was someone else. Was, you know, all these Asians, they look the same, you know?
Oh, man. I remember the one time I said that joke.
Did you actually say that?
Oh, man. People were so uncomfortable because they're like, do we laugh? Like, can we call them out on that one?
Wait, did you do it in a room full of white people?
Yeah, my team's all white.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's well, the way to go. No, there's like two Chinese guys at the time.
Yeah.
And they laughed.
Of course. That's the way to go.
But all the white people were like,
That's an HR violation, Vince. You can't just make people uncomfortable like that. Come on.
What can I say? I'm a shit disturber. Hell yeah. I always have been.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that was that. But no, this past week, I haven't done anything except play video games.
Yes. Oh my God. Finally.
What do you mean
finally? Finally.
I feel like that's all I've been doing lately.
Dude, it's like when you see your son like take his first grow up. Finally, he's off that anime garbage. And he's playing the true media.
Yeah, I've had to take a break from anime because like I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West. My game clock is at, shut up.
So grown up.
Is at 55 hours, and I think I have a 60% completion rate.
Okay.
But that's the amount I decided to finish this game. Like,
and you're like, story. I'm done.
I'm not done, but the way the game works out, like, just the way it's paced out, you get to the final act, the third act, and you're probably in the coolest part of the game. But it's at that point that for whatever reason, I was ready. I was like, I can't just do all the side quests anymore. Like, I gotta go to the end now. Like, it's not that the game was bad or that the content was bad. It was just that it became too much for me. Like, there was just so much stuff to do.
Was it even fun?
Some parts of it were, but the biggest problem is that I guess the one of the things that I like doing with these open world games where the motivation is that you're exploring and you want to find more cool stuff.
Yes.
In Horizon Forbidden West, 2/3 of the way through, they show you the legendary gear.
Okay.
Like, they show you all the coolest endgame gear, and they, spoilers, it's locked behind arena quests, like where you're just fighting monsters.
So two players only, you got to go fight a Diablos.
Yes. But set weapons. But it's one player only. Yeah. Oh. It's like that. Okay. So that's all it is. And it doesn't matter what other quests are in the game. It's almost inevitable that like these are the end game gear.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes the final set of quests, no matter how interesting they are narratively, less compelling to do.
Okay.
Because like, you know, the rewards are just not going to be better.
It's weird that they would show you it.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because like, I thought that maybe there'd be like another story quest that would give you better gear.
Yeah.
And like, just to give myself peace of mind, I looked it up. I was like, "Where's the best gear?" And it's like the arena. And I'm like, "Oh, are they already kidding? Showed me, bitch." Yeah. And I was like,
"Cause even the like force field armor you get in the first one, that wasn't shown to you, was it?"
No, but that's part of a story quest, right? Yeah. Like, you collect all these things and you get it.
Yeah.
So they have something like that in this game where you do all these things to get a piece of armor, but it's not the best armor.
Interesting.
Speaking of which, there is no armor that is more cool than the armor from the first game, that like high tech armor, of course,
where you get a double life bar.
There's no armor that is as cool in this game. In fact, I feel it's kind of weird how in Forbidden West, all of the creative design is that all these people decided that they want to be natives, like North American native.
Okay.
In terms of like,
live off the land.
Yes, that. But I mean, in terms of their outfits and just like their general character design.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems so weird for a game that's, I guess, a rebirthing of Earth, that no one took any sort of costume design from like other places that we know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how in China they have whatever. Like, what I'm trying to say is like, people or like ancestral people from like Egypt do not look like natives in North America.
But also, this game has always had like very North American, Native American stylings to it since the first game.
It has, right? But I'm wondering like why they didn't go beyond that.
You want it to be Assassin's Creed.
Yes. Yeah. I want to keep going.
All right.
Anyways, so I think last time I said the story gets wild, like when they drop the ball and what they're actually doing, mm-hmm. It's wild. It goes even wilder.
Oh, no. Okay.
It goes even wilder. All right. The game is amazing, though. Like, it is beautiful. It is 100%, like, we ticked all the boxes. You can't complain about anything about this game. All
right.
It does everything you want it to do. The final mission has very much Mass Effect 2 suicide mission vibes.
Ooh.
It's not, like, up to that level. Okay. But you get that sort of feel. And then the reveal at the end, and the and where you are, and the setting that you're in. If you saw me playing this level, you'd be like, "This isn't Horizon."
Yeah, what am I? Okay.
You'd be like, "What am I looking at?" You're like, "There's no way that this is Horizon." All right, okay. The only thing that would make you think it's Horizon is Aloy's dressed like a native. That's it. But like the first game, you save the day, and then they drop the real ending on you.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh,
ah, shit, here we go again."
Yeah, but this time it's you have no basis, or you have no. They've never introduced anything like this in the world.
Okay.
Or in the universe that you know of, so you have no idea what to expect.
All right.
That
sounds more interesting than, from what I've heard from other people talk about the game, the story is very much do the thing you did in the first game, but again.
Well, I mean, it's an open world game, yeah.
I mean, in terms of like the story beats, where it's just like, you have to stop the thing, so you got to shut down Gaia. Like you mentioned before, you got to shut down Gaia, but then you're like, oh no, we have to redo Gaia. We got to press the reset button. It's like basically the same thing.
So and it is, but there's like, I'm not telling you a very important component that's the other half of the story.
Which is mad spoilers.
Yeah, which is crazy spoilers. Right. And when you see it, you're kind of like, I can't believe they did this, but at the same time, I don't think there's anything else they could have done.
Okay.
Like this was... Like, literally, we're going out there. We got to do it.
Genshin Impact crossover.
Could be. You never know. Some anime girl shows up. It's wild. But no, I really enjoyed it. Like, all the side quests are worth doing in terms of, like, their narrative impact. Like, they are very, very well done. I don't feel like any of the extra activities are meaningless. Mm-hmm. Or, you know how, like, in some open world games, especially Assassin's Creed, it's like, you're literally just collecting things just to collect things.
Collect the data feathers.
Yeah, all the side quests here are actual character development and story. It's like,
and I guess like the what you get out of that is based on how much you like those characters.
Yeah, so like if the main quest line is the movies, the side quests are all the accompanying TV shows or like the extra comics you read to get more of it. Like it's really good. I think my only gripe, and this is more of a personal thing, is just I still don't, like, I'm not invested in the world of Horizon as much as I want to be.
Okay.
And that's just because I've never taken to Aloy, or, like I said last week, like, I just don't like a lot of the creative design in this game.
There's something about that, like, that game where anything beyond robot dinosaurs, I don't care.
Yeah, and, like, I hate to say that this game didn't change my mind, because it didn't, but it really tries hard, and I can understand why some people would be super into it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's just not for, like, its general story is not really what I'm into. But
what if Aloy was in a bikini?
I mean, I did put her in one.
Yeah, like, no, if you finish the game in under a certain amount of time.
I mean, it's cool. Like, they had a lot of cool things. Like, you can change the dye of your armor. Okay. So in the final battle, like, I was hot pink.
Nice.
And it looked... Yeah. Kind of ridiculous.
You're fashion hunting?
Yeah, I was. Absolutely. It was amazing. The game is also tuned so that you can upgrade all your equipment and you can add mods onto them.
Mm.
But the difficulty is definitely tuned to the point where it's not you can upgrade them, it's you must upgrade them.
Mm.
Right? Because the game is deceptively hard. And there are moments where I was just sitting there like, this is unfair. This is ridiculous.
I should go grind.
Kind of.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's so counterintuitive, because in the beginning of the game, they tell you, this monster spits fire.
Mm-hmm.
Do not shoot fire at it, because it is strong against fire.
Yeah.
I think we've all learned this lesson.
Checks out. Makes sense.
What they don't tell you is that, like, if a monster has fire or whatever element, they usually have a canister of fire on them.
Yeah.
And if you shoot it with fire ammo, it blows up and does significant damage.
Like the oil or whatever.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the beginning of the game tells you, do not shoot the monster with its exact same resistance.
Yeah.
But their biggest weakness is if you shoot this very specific spot with their exact resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where it's like, this is so ridiculous.
All right.
And it took me like 20 hours to figure that out.
I thought you were going to say, like,
sorry, say it again.
Like, you were, I thought you were going to go in a direction that's just like, oh, here's this one enemy, he shoots fire, but then like 20 hours later they introduce a variant but don't tell you that it's a variant, and it's like, here's the ice version of this, and it's shooting ice at you now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's just like, this is, it's dumb, but right. Whatever, but regardless, it's a really good game. I still stand by it, like, probably the sole reason to buy a PlayStation 5 today for most people, I think. Okay. Like, if you have a PS5 and you need a big budget game, this is the one. I loved it. Can't wait for the third one, because there's definitely going to be a third one.
Unless.
No, there's going to be a third one.
Unless. Gorilla shuts down.
Yeah, right.
You're right, bud.
I can't wait to see what this game looks like when it comes to the PC, though.
It'll probably look sick. It'll probably melt your graphics card.
Probably. But then I put that down to play Elden Ring.
I can't believe you bought Elden Ring.
Listen, when people are telling me that this game is, you know,
Game of the decade. Decade's only 2 years in.
How am I supposed to be like, no, you know? And I saw a quote from Jeff Cannata on Twitter.
Oh, man, guy's washed up. What are you still following him for?
No, but he had a very, very apt description of this game. Okay. It's like, seeing all the reviews of Elden Ring is like watching a bunch of spicy enthusiasts say how this next spicy sauce is the best spicy sauce. And now, even though I have a stomach issue and I hate spicy shit, I gotta have a taste.
Hell yeah.
Right? And
hell
that's I'm like, I get it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, I've played Demon's Souls and Bloodborne. I think Bloodborne more. But yeah, like, I like the games. I wouldn't call myself like a fan.
You're not a Soulsborne diehard. No,
absolutely not. But this game, they added open world, which is probably the one thing I didn't know I wanted, but I absolutely do want that in these kind of games.
Okay.
And I think a lot of it is in Dark Souls or whatever, Soulsborne games, you're kind of like just stuck at an impasse most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get to a boss and you can't beat it, you just kind of, or you're just going to bang your head against the wall till you do.
I usually, they're pretty good about being like, this boss is not where you should be now.
No, but you only have so many options.
But yeah, exactly. Right? It's like you have hallway A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And pick a hallway. Yeah.
Yeah. And you pick the one that is to your convenience, we'll say.
You're like, oh, these rats aren't that bad. I'll go down hallway A.
Elden Ring is like, whatever. You don't want to do that, boss. That's fine. Go somewhere else.
Interesting.
And you can just explore.
So usually the way you beat bosses in the Souls games or Sekiro or Bloodborne, they're all very story-based, right? Like, you go through them in a specific order because they serve the vague narrative to some direction.
Yeah.
How does that work in Elden Ring? Like, what's the story here? I heard you need to get some bitches.
That's not the story.
Okay.
That's just... So, to be honest, I'm only in the opening hours, so, like, I wouldn't say I know entirely what the story is,
mm-hmm.
but you are tarnished, and there's, like, I want to say, like, eight, I don't know what they're called, I think they're, like...
Eight Fellowships of the Ring.
Something like that, and you have to take each one of them down.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is this, like, go defeat Ganon, but there's eight Ganons, and how you get to Ganon doesn't matter?
Kind of.
Okay.
But every time you come up on one of those mega bosses, there's always like NPCs around in that area,
mm-hmm.
and you get the story through them, and so like you're always trying to help them figure out what's going on and whatnot before you can finish the boss.
Yep.
But yeah, the story is definitely told like it's wild playing this game back to back with Horizon, because Horizon is 100%. Let's go on a road trip, but let's only take the highway. And you always feel safe. You know mm-hmm. where the highway goes. Like,
yeah. Easy to read exits.
Absolutely. Elden Ring is like, let's go on a road trip in Africa.
Nice.
On no roads and just go somewhere.
Yeah. And also you have a rear-wheel drive car.
Yeah. And it's just not, you know what? Let's go walk across Africa. Oh, like, that's basically
God.
What it is.
Oh, my God.
And it's so wild because the game tells you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which... is great for exploration, but sometimes I feel like there's certain things they should have told you. Like, there is one key ability that you can only get in one place at one spot at one point in time and day. But it is a key, like, game feature.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And if you don't get it, the game is significantly harder without it, right? So it's one of those situations where I wish the game just gave you a bit more tutorials when it came to all the game's features. Because there's a lot of things I had to look up because I just didn't know how to do them. Like, for example, adding a skill to one of my swords, I didn't know how to do it. Right? Like, I had all the pieces, but I didn't know how to do it.
But, like, you have it from the beginning?
No. Okay. Apparently, like, I picked it up, and I read the tutorial, but, like, it doesn't tell me where I can go do this.
Huh.
And then I found out, it's like, oh, you just do it here. You just open your... Like, even how to do co-op. It's like, how do I summon somebody? And the game doesn't tell you. And so, yeah, there's just pieces to the game that I wish they were a bit more hand-holdy on. But otherwise, it's pretty cool. You can jump. You have a horse. It's a Soulsborne game through and through, but I think I can't really say too much else until I progress further. What I will say is that it's unfortunately, like, super buggy, and it's got weird performance issues.
Yes, nice.
Hell yeah. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, it's not exactly the most technically impressive game. Like, it doesn't look like it looks good enough, but coming off of Horizon, this definitely looks like a game that was made for PS4 and Xbox One. The only difference is on PS5, I guess it runs at a higher frame rate, but the problem is it doesn't run at a higher frame rate because it fluctuates from like 60 FPS to 40. Like, and it's a big jump.
Like, in tight corridors or
no,
like
open all world? The time.
Oh, weird.
All the time. The first 10 minutes where you're inside one hallway and it's 60 FPS, you're like, this game is sick. It's nice and slick.
Yeah.
You go outside for the first time and the game just chugs.
Weird.
Like, it's not a consistent chug. It's just, it comes in and out. But the game has a really big stuttering problem. So it'll like hang and then it'll move again. So I don't know. I've always been more sensitive to frame rate dips than I have been resolution dips. So it's been really distracting and kind of annoying. And I wish I could just lock it at like 30 just to keep it consistent, but you can't. So it's one of those things where I hope a patch fixes it.
Probably. I know there was a lot of, the one I remember mostly was Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of weird performance issues in there too. And also just like, there was a weird glitch I had where anytime I killed an enemy and there were ragdoll on the ground, and then I turned the camera around and then turned back to their corpse, the game would like glitch their model so that their head was stuck in a wall and they were hanging from the wall with their head inside the wall.
Oh, wild.
It was really weird. There's a lot of like they have a lot of really weird, sometimes fun stuff, but usually that gets fixed with patches.
I hope so. Because I mean, like, I know that From Software issued an apology on this.
Good.
They're like, we're sorry about the performance.
Stop releasing unfinished games.
It's like, yeah, and I guess, yeah, it is a bummer because I guess every game this generation I've bought, day one is not the answer.
This will be every game going forward forever.
Yeah.
As long as people keep buying day one, I guess.
But what I was going to say is that my next game on my list, which unlocks in 2 hours, is Gran Turismo 7.
Yes.
And every review I've seen, bug-free. The Ooh. Most polished release game we have seen in the past 5 years.
Nice.
There's other things about that game that I have issues with.
All right. Based off but it's not bugs.
But it's not bugs.
Nice.
They're like, in terms of performance and bugs, zero.
It's finished, but there's some things I don't like. I would rather something be finished and there's some things I don't like rather than like everything, but the game's a buggy mess.
Yeah, so like, I want to ask you, like, if that's the case with Elden Ring, and every review actually touches upon this, it says that like there are performance issues.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10, though.
I don't think that's a 10 out of 10 then.
Yeah, because I was thinking like if King of Fighters launched with an unstable frame rate, that'd be totally game breaking, right?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's a fighting game.
Yeah, so I just, I wish, and like that, and that's just it, right? Because the game's already so highly rated, like what is it on the developers to be like, let's fix this?
So that's also really interesting too, because I was actually, when you had mentioned that Jeff Kanata tweet, I remembered an Elden Ring tweet by Daniel Dwyer,
yeah,
who does the NoClip stuff.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned that like all the news and reviews around Elden Ring is really interesting because it's so popular. And the people who like Souls games love it so much, like they're giving it the 10, that other people are like, they have to cover it.
Yeah.
Even if people don't like it. Yeah. They have to cover it because it just generates so much money.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe they're being more lenient because if they were harsher, it would like call for attacks on the people who are reviewing those games or the website, like a lot of rabid fans are prone to do with big franchises.
Yeah, for sure.
And I wonder how much of that is like, well, this guy gave it a 10. I might as well just give it a 10.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, like to me, in my mind, a 10, it used to be that just a 10 was like, I found no flaws in this game.
Hmm.
But now we have the added thing of just like, I found no flaws in this game. And also it is bug free.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Is technical performance something that should be, I feel like it, if it's in the package, you got to include it in your,
yeah.
Right.
All right. Like, if it's a modern,
it can't
day
be
thing,
this separate thing that we're going to just ignore.
Yeah. Like I think the last major 10 I remember,
was Breath of the Wild,
probably Breath of the Wild, but also Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
And both those games were like, glitch free,
yeah,
unless the glitch was like something you were exploring, but like, it wasn't like the game was running bad, like it wasn't like through normal gameplay you're going to experience these things.
Yeah,
right. And I think that's, I don't know, I feel like that's a bar you have to keep in mind. Like if I'm just running through the game and they advertise to me a locked 60 experience and I go to a lake and it dips to 40,
yeah,
that's not a perfect game. You're not offering me what is advertised. You're not, yeah. I'm not going to say you're lying, but I think that kind of knocks it down from being perfect.
For sure.
Right. Unless you're using your 10 out of 10 or your 5 out of 5 as like, this experience is like the pinnacle of video games. And it's not necessarily a perfect score, but mostly I can recommend this the most out of,
for sure,
things being released.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, all this to say, Elden Ring's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you can definitely tell this has got influences from George R. R. Martin, and I really do love the setting.
I've seen some of, like, the NPC characters. They just look so lovable. Like, the pot guy.
Yeah, it's...
The pot with arms or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, like, between all the Dark Souls games and Demon Souls, like, I've always liked fantasy.
Yeah.
But, like, this one... It's just high fantasy enough. Where like I'm it's clicking.
All right.
Like going through the open world and you see the, like Yggdrasil in the background, like the tree. Pretty cool. Yeah. I will be playing a lot more of it. Absolutely. It's probably a game I'm gonna take a long time to go through.
What was the sickest burn I heard was on the Trash Taste podcast, where it was like people were saying that IGN got through Elden Ring in like 60 to 80 hours.
Yeah.
And some guy was like, or was it Connor? He was like, so like 40 hours for people who play games.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, damn, son, what a burn.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems,
there's a lot of content.
It seems cool. There's a lot of cool things that I've heard of and other things. Yeah.
Have you been doing any invading?
No, I've been helping people. Because it's a From game, right? You come out to the open world, the first guy you see is actually a boss.
Yeah.
And he wrecks you, so...
Wait, did you beat him?
I beat him when I co-opted someone else.
Oh, okay.
Like, when I help somebody, I beat it for them. But I haven't beat it in my world.
Apparently, yet. He gives you a weapon where you need two of them to do something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to unlock, like, the special ability of the weapons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like... I might go try and beat it for myself. I have to call someone in for help. But yeah, be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's Elden Ring, so I'll be talking about that more next week, as well as Gran Turismo 7. We'll see what that's all about.
Yeah, tell me about racing, baby. How does it compare to Ultra Simulator PC iRacing?
I don't know. I'm very curious because I've been playing this one on a controller.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, that's it from us.
Remember to turn on the 6-axis steering.
The gyro steering?
Yeah, the gyro steering.
I don't think you can.
Oh, my God.
Actually, Horizon has gyro.
Aiming?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know why.
Because it's the elite way to play.
But anyways, yeah, that's it for us.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.